All right, we are recording.
Okay, well, thank you. I would like to welcome everyone to the LCRDA Compensation Committee meeting taking place May 30, 2019 at 10 a.m. I would like to officially call it to order. And just for the record, those in attendance include, do you want to roll call of sorts?
Sure.
Okay.
Kimberly Moore, Chair of the Committee, Sherry Marson, Leon County, Linda Barino, HR Solutions, T. Paul Dean, Dan Foss, Turbo Corps, Ron Miller, LCRDA Executive Director, Peggy Bilby, Administrative Coordinator.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And are there any agenda modifications? I know that we got the packets out earlier.
None that I'm aware of.
Okay. And then public comment. We have no public, so no one's in attendance. We will transition into the agenda. The first action item being approval of the draft meeting minutes for May 5th, 2019, and that's attachment A, and I would entertain a motion for acceptance.
Motion to accept.
Second. Okay, it's been properly motioned and seconded acceptance of the meeting minutes for May 5th, 2019. All those in favor, acknowledge it. Aye.
Aye.
Opposition? Motion carries. So, committee discussion. First of all, thank you all for your contributions, because what, as you see in front of you, if you look in your packet, the compiled responses, we will walk them through, but this will be a really short meeting, probably about 30 minutes. Only because we were very much on point, and then it will lead us into our final meeting, which will be the collapsed version of what I'll put together as that recommendation coming from each of us, and then we'll accept it. So, thank you for being a part of the process. The first thing that we're going to take on and as a challenge is just walking through again the responses. So the first one being the executive director of compensation, salary, retirement, and benefits. We can look at these and take a moment to do so, but I will tell you, having looked at it earlier, the items that are different, otherwise everybody is in agreement that we would adopt and accept the county plan, is looking at the car allowance. There was a note that I included in there. I included it as an exclusion, education incentive, car allowance, and tuition reimbursement. The other difference is that for the cell phone, I asked that it be recommended for senior managers, but I also saw that as a carryover in some other sections of our of the responses.
What are you considering senior manager?
Senior managers was Mike Titnowski, the entrepreneur person, and then yourself. I know there is reference, though, as we go forward, the communications manager was indicated by one of our members responding. But otherwise, from my vantage point, it was these two. So that's a discussion point here as well. I think, Linda, you put in yours that if budget allows for the cell phone and car allowance. But there, I think that was, you were probably the only one with the car allowance. So again, two areas of conversation there. What are your thoughts about the car allowance and the cell phone, and just kind of defining for the purpose of this one, it would just be Ron, because that's the section that we're on.
Yeah. My thought there was, I mean, with that, with a position that he, that position that we're talking about, taking the personality away, this is the position, that seemed to me to warrant some allowance, because I can imagine that that role would be, would need to be available at various hours throughout the day, and I don't think that it would be, I think that it would be more equitable to allow something to help offset the cost of a cell phone, and also if a vehicle did have to be used during the normal business day, personal vehicle, that there be something allotted for that. For offset of not only for fuel, but maintenance, insurance, those kinds of things. That was my thought.
Okay. Comments on that? Because I think where we also talked about, and I think it's included in mine as well, is the adopting a local travel policy, wherein that the staff, and I meant across the board, anybody that's driving on behalf of the park, that they, we would have the rate in place and that they would be reimbursed for that. What are y'all's thoughts on that?
I definitely think there needs to be some type of policy in place, because
employees that engage in company business or whatever should be compensated when they're doing that, and their wear and tear of their vehicle as well. So I think we talked about adopting maybe the IRS standard or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And,
correct.
And I think we need to move forward with something like that.
Yeah, I agree with that. The local travel policy, at least, for, you know, just day-to-day, whatever it is that you want to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's more of a reimbursement rather than
an allowance.
Yes.
My thought was a general flat allowance, because then, for one thing, it's budgetable. I mean, you know how to plan for that, and it's a flat amount. But I definitely see the need for one of the other.
And you're talking about for the
ED.
The ED, right. Yeah.
I think, all of these, and because what we end up putting together, I'm going to put the little asterisk and note on there, because we've not put a price tag on any of these things, not realizing how much travel that, our team or staff does.
That's here. That was going to be one of my questions.
Yeah.
Like, is there an extensive amount that
So any out-of-town travel, we are already reimbursed,
and
we follow the statutory reimbursement language and the cents per mile. It's like 44.5.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the IRS rate.
Okay.
It's actually in my contract, I believe, that's what we follow.
But as far as locally, like how?
Locally, in terms of the actual amount, I don't keep track of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a lot, and I think for most of us it's not a lot because we plan accordingly.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you're planning accordingly because you don't have a budget, right?
Right, exactly.
Right.
So,
an employee shouldn't have to say, hey, I'm going to leave 5 minutes early and detour here just to prevent saving, you know, money or whatever.
Well, I do it because it saves time also.
Yeah.
You know, if you got to drive 30 minutes one way and 30 minutes back, you know.
Yeah.
I have no way of knowing. I know Peggy runs a lot of errands.
We need to do is we need to look at what you're spending a year on travel for reimbursements and see if it makes sense. It's more equitable to go to a flat rate.
So start out with a mileage reimbursement.
So then we make that then the recommendation, because then I'm assuming then the board or the executive committee would then go forward with, hey, these are the recommendations that they put forward, and let's get the data behind it.
Yeah.
And we'll put that note that we don't know what it is, but we would.
Yeah, I don't think the exposure would be great on a
mileage travel policy.
Yeah,
but I just think, I think we're all in agreement here that we need to put something in place that nothing is not appropriate.
And can I recommend that we follow the statutory rates and methods to be consistent with our out-of-town travel policy?
But this out-of-town travel policy that you said is in your contract, it sounds all dated.
It's actually the state statute.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay, by citing the statute, then we would always be in
So why is the state so much different than anyone else?
Because they don't have to.
I would get sidetracked
So when you think about it, even I share with you all, public institutions too, we're the same thing.
And when I looked at the language Sherry sent me on the county, they actually use a term that is from statute, and so I think they are probably following statute, but because the IRS reimbursement rate is higher, they can probably get away with paying the higher rate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing. So they're probably following the actual mechanism that's described in statute.
Right.
And just using the higher rate.
Right.
Okay.
Because they call it, I think, Class C travel.
Yes.
And that references local travel in the statute.
Correct.
Right.
You're correct. That's exactly what it is. So then the other area, again, we'll do jump on is for the cell phone. We're in agreement that there ought to be a cell phone allowance that's provided. We'd suggest that for those that we identify, that it be a flat rate. What do you all think about the language of senior managers and who would fall into that category based on the job descriptions that we received?
I was thinking the same, the two directors and the executive.
You're saying they're related to cell phone reimbursement?
Cell phone. Mm-hmm. Well, how it works that if we establish this as what they was part of their compensation, it would be a flat rate, and that it's not necessarily reimbursement, it's just a flat rate to get. Regardless
of what you use.
Yeah, regardless of what plan you're operating with, you know, it'd be if it's $45, then everybody gets $45.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you can pick whatever plan, but then that would be a taxable compensation.
Mm-hmm. Sherry, does the county administrator determine which positions qualify or
it is senior management.
But the county provides the phone, right? It's not a personal phone.
No, it's an allowance.
It's an allowance. They don't provide a phone.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's actually higher, I won't say all senior management, almost like the executive level.
Mm-hmm. And see, we don't really have those classifications, so, you know, we have the directors and the executive director.
Right.
Now, I can logically leap to, the other director is, you know, marketing communications and media, so she's, but I don't know how, you can tell.
I can tell you that I use my phone 24, my cell phone 24/7. Honestly, I prefer to just give everybody my cell phone number.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Whereas Denise is the other end, she does not give her cell phone number to anyone.
Oh, okay. Well, then it's clear.
At least the last I talked to her, that's the way it is.
Then it's clear. If, you know,
I think Michael is in a position where he would definitely use his cell phone a lot.
Program communication?
Yeah. No,
entrepreneurship. Oh, okay.
Because of the client, the client
that
work.
Yeah, makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, I don't know if that would be different for Denise if there was actually an allowance available to do that. But.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, we could recommend it. We could identify the positions, and if there is preference by the staff to not share, then that person should not get the allowance because he's not sharing it.
Right.
Yeah, but for those who are, then.
Yeah, I think that.
Okay.
And that's why I asked about whether it was the county administrator. I would think that maybe there's some allowance for the executive director to make a decision about who is justified to get.
Correct.
Based on their usage of their cell phone.
And exactly. Sort of thing. Okay, and then the other talked about, and this was there's two other areas that we pull up here. One is related to the salary, and we saw the survey and the range, and we actually had a lot of southern groups that responded. About half of them were from the South, and Linda, you went ahead and did, and what I did is looking at the range, and you identified it as 147K. I just went from the lowest extreme to the upper based off of similarities tied to our operation, budget, and all things like that. And that went up to 174,999, which gave us room in our range based off of the contract that's in place. So I think we were all, when we look at consideration and reviewing it and making sure that we're competitive, that is what we'll be putting forward, that based on experience and all that we encourage them to look at that on actually annually. The benefit package, and I'll point this out, Paul, but I know we're going to hit on it with rewards, mm-hmm. is specific to how do we recognize and incentivize the work that Ron is doing. And I think that we're all at that point as we go forward in the document of wanting to do that. But as you all will note, and I'll note too, that in the legal opinion that we receive, it has to be something that's consistent, that when we look, we can do it just as an individual. Okay.
Yeah, that was.
Would you restate that, please?
Yeah, we could not look at having a bonus structure, if you will, for an individual, that it had to be something across the board. Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting that the county policy actually excludes the executive staff, right? The executive folks that reward program from the rewards program.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's really just, it's for rank and file staff.
Mm-hmm.
But that was interesting. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say that when we looked at this last time, well, the first opinion we got was you can't do it, and the reason you can't do it is because it's too complicated. And I think it was because the legislation was so new at the time, nobody really knew how to implement it without getting in trouble.
Right.
And that's the thing to remember, though, is we're very statute driven as far as what we can and can't do, and we don't want to get in trouble. So then we, as time passed and people started implementing things, and they went back and looked at a little more specifically about how you might do something like that.
Uh-huh.
Well, at the time, there was just two of us.
Yeah.
It was me and an administrative assistant. So how can we structure a rewards program for those two positions that was consistent? There was really no way to make it meaningful. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to still be a challenge, is given what we all do, you know, if you wanted to make it for all of us, how would you structure something like that?
We'll get some comments in here, so we'll jump into what we might suggest. For the second one, actually, was there any other comments related to number one? Otherwise, we'll jump into two. So the second one is the Executive Director Evaluation Survey Tool. So, Linda, you believe that it was thorough. Paul, you mentioned maybe looking at LinkedIn or other sources about compensation package. Only challenge observation that I have with that was whether, because all the things that we have to take into account, the budget, the oversight, because they were all very different, even with the 16 or 18 or folks that responded to this, or how would we be able to do a comparison on LinkedIn of those different variables?
Well, what I meant is that whether it's LinkedIn or any other type of job boards, posting site, you can see what some of the ranges are for similar jobs, because everybody's posted their things, and so just to make sure that we remain competitive. But I'm not sure from a private sector standpoint, you know, that's where we get a lot of references from and things like that, but I don't know if it works the same way.
I only laugh at that because when I was working under contract and I was CEO and pulled all that data, they were like,
to
pay you $100,000 more, we're
not using
that source. Find a source that fits what you're
doing.
So that's what I like.
But you're talking about compensation, not the survey tool.
Okay, so then we need to pull that to the other side. We'll relocate that then. For Sherry, you told us the tools that you all are using. Mm-hmm. And how is it? I mean, are they tailored by certain positions, or is just everybody uses this within the operation?
Everybody uses it. It's more so for the career service. They're, of course, evaluated by the supervisors, but the senior management, we actually go in and input our thoughts, and then we discuss it with our supervisors.
So for the current tool that we have here, and I think we've had it, I mean, it seems like the same one that I've seen during the evaluation process each year. What I suggested is that trying to connect it to some of the other things that we're going to do is incorporate annual goals that include individual and organization strategic goals that we customize, or, you know, for where we are, and not just leave it general each year. That, you know, if these are based on our strategic plan, these are the goals that we have, and this is what we are set to do, whether it's revenue, whether it's whatever, that it would be included and outlined in there. So that's what I would recommend. I don't know what y'all's thoughts are on that.
I think that's a good thought, actually. I know that it was, you know, those points, if I recall correctly, were addressed in the survey that we saw that was presented to us, but it was more general.
Yeah.
Right. You're saying make it very, very specific
to where we are and what we want to accomplish for that said year. And so that when we're thinking about bonuses or whatever else, we don't have to go come up and draft another document. It's already incorporated in his evaluation. And honestly, I believe that it makes it more meaningful because it speaks to where we are versus, you know, board members having to figure out, oh gosh, let me look through some emails and figure out what Ron did all year, because we know he's been doing something, he's been doing good.
Yeah. No, I agree. Because if we could set those targets and goals, the same process will happen every year annually.
Exactly.
What are the top four things he's going to help out? And, what do we consider, a 10, or what do we consider a 7 or 5 or 3 or 2 or 1 or 0 or whatever, right?
And both of our tools, they have those goals actually in there.
Well, then would you mind sharing just as an example for us?
Yeah, I did. I looked at the system that you were talking about, and what they have is an enterprise-wide human resources management tool that does more than just that.
It's not a standalone.
Yeah, it's not go get on the web and, you know, do a survey monkey thing.
It's very decent.
I don't think it's in our budget to get it.
No, we want to encourage the talent management, the person of a talent management system, but definitely tweaking and reviewing.
Because like in the industry, what we do is we set whatever the standard increase is going to be each year, right? And then based on how you you do, how you rank level 1 through 5, right?
Uh-huh.
If you get a 3 is the target, right? So if you set the increase to be at 2.5%, right?
Uh-huh.
Then anyone that has a 3 gets 2.5. Mm-hmm. And there's a multiplier, but if you get a 4 or 5, right,
yeah,
you may get twice that much or the max. But if you get a two, mm-hmm, when the target is 3, you're going to get less than a 2.5.
Exactly.
Right. So that's your system.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I believe if you look at my contract, I think there's actually a provision in my contract to do just that.
Uh-huh.
It's just never been implemented. But there was supposed to be some specific measurable goals set up.
Well, this would actually get us there, because then we'd be, so.
Yeah, so it might be you take the evaluation tool that we have,
uh-huh,
and you add another section that is just specific goals.
Very strategic, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You can still capture all that other stuff. That's
correct, yeah.
Like 90% of the job.
Yeah, because we don't want to dismiss that, but I also want to, if we're talking about focus and the reward system and all of that, so we'll put that in our collapse notes then. Anything else for that section? And April didn't have anything. Okay. Staff benefits. So here again, we were pointing to adoption of the county benefits. The only things that stood out on this one, we already hit on the cell phone usage, and Linda, you were already on point with the folks that you were thinking about. The other with the April, who out of the group mentioned that she disagreed with in-town mileage. However, the 4 of us would represent support of that. Mm-hmm. Any other thing? Because otherwise, I know Sherry, you mentioned Dylan Vision.
And just to remember, April will have a vote.
Correct.
When it goes to the board.
Yeah.
or the final.
Well, and, you know, I will note, any of those where we're making a recommendation where there wasn't a unanimous vote on it, then we'll point it out. It says, but in this one, we'll say 4-1 in support of.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, across the board with all the benefits packages, that, especially using the county as a baseline, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to put it on paper in a matrix, right, and say, can we afford it, right? And then we're going to pick out
what's
the best, right?
You're exactly right.
On a car type situation. Right?
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right.
But that's not our job.
No, it's not. Yeah. That's why I like this job.
Yeah.
And I did try to do that.
It's like recommendations.
In the matrix, you saw that.
Yeah.
But
the at a glance, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the majority of this stuff, other than the in-town travel, the life insurance, which I think I estimated the cost on that, on page 3.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like $3,500 a year if you assume all 3 full-time employees get 2 times their annual salary. Again, those are the classification questions that I have as far as who's it's executive and senior management of the county. That gets 2 times, and support and career service gets 1 times, and only full-time employees are eligible. So, worst case, for all 3 of our full-time employees, it's $3,500 a year.
Exactly.
Which is, I think, doable. I mean, that's not going to make or break us.
Do we, and this may be being off subject a little bit, but
what's up?
Do we have any scenarios where we would use a contract employee or temporary employee? Do you see anything like that?
No.
Yeah.
No. I was the only contract employee they've ever had for a few months. So we have 3 full-time, 1 part-time.
Yeah.
There are provisions for in the employment policy related to temporary employees, and it excludes them from benefits.
Ron, and what we'll include in the recommendation too is that prior to it, I know a lot that you already have, but wherever there is a financial impact, that you'll go ahead and provide a dollar value, propose based off of what we're recommending, and which again you already have for.
And like I said, almost all of this, except for maybe the cell phone, and I did include the cell phone allowance cost, so 45 times 3 times 12 is another $3,200 a year.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the rewards program obviously would have a cost.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the county benefits, additional county benefits we're talking about, would not have a cost.
Exactly.
To the employer.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of, can we access it through the county and not have the administrative burden a big administrative burden trying to deal with that.
Can we find that out?
For
the ability to access those benefits.
Which additional ones?
Well, because if we looked at everything except your rewards program, because the rewards program would be specific to.
I know the dental, the vision, that's the other one I told you on that you guys could.
Yeah, I think that last column I had on the matrix.
Yes.
That says whether it's available to LCRDA.
Yes.
And I think.
Yeah, all of those.
So then we.
So the section 125 plan is the one that. Is one that we probably have to set up ourselves because it's a separate employer.
Right.
The dental vision, I think you was in life insurance, I think you said all that was available.
Yes, they said you could.
The long-term disability, actually, I would say NA, because that is employer paid. Wait, I'm sorry. No, not that. That's not what I meant. That's short-term.
Where are you
wrong? So on short term on page 2.
Okay.
So I'll move back up. Can we just run through this real quick?
Sure. That's,
well, if I'm reading this right, the county is self insured on that?
On short term, yes. They're they're paying it themselves as they go.
So we know that items, and maybe we could number them, but annual leave, sick leave, holidays, all the way through Florida retirement on page 1 through 4, on page 1.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got it up on the screen too if you need to see it. But.
And then on page 2, what is available, we see what we are currently offering. Some of it's specific to just the executive director.
So if you want to talk about the deferred comp plan,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that is something that we could make available right this minute to exist all employees. It's a matter of the question is a matter of the match. In the case of Leon County, they only match for those that are making less than $50,000 a year. So senior management not getting benefit of that at all.
Right.
So if we decided to do a match, there would certainly be a cost of doing that.
Yeah.
So, and they're matching 50% of whatever the employee does, up to 3%. So I could do some math on that and estimate the cost.
And you wouldn't even have to cap it. You know, being creative with that, it lets, for hypothetical, say 50%. But then you could cap it at an annual, you know, up to $1,000 or $5,000.
They're saying that's at 3% of base.
Right.
So.
But that's with the county. If you wanted to, because this would have to be, you may not be able to mirror that. Exactly. Or are we saying that you would be able to mirror it? My apologies.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think we could choose to do whatever we want.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, I think it may make sense to exclude me from that because of the other.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be part of why they exclude the higher ups at the county.
Exactly.
Because of that.
Right.
Because I've seen Vince's contract, and I know he's getting something in there.
Yeah.
Okay, and so then the others, as you see, that they are, with the exception of short-term disability, but the remainder on page 2, all of, looks like page 3, and then for page 4, the voluntary plans, then we move into what some of you have recommended with the legal insurance. I think, Linda, you may have recommended that mm-hmm. that be included.
Okay.
Cell phone, we discussed, we know there would be a financial impact, car allowance. We appear to be, and if I don't want to speak for anybody else, but are we more along the lines of, you know, individual thought on local travel, providing that versus car allowance.
Yes.
Okay, and then, so that's Sherry and Paul.
Yeah.
Okay, and then Linda. Okay, and then I know where I am on that. And then, which was to not include that. And then tuition reimbursement. Because felt no on that one, because when I looked at even, I think it was the county or somewhere that I saw it that it talked about, it didn't even have to relate back to your job. So I thought, okay, we don't want to adopt that.
Ours it has to relate to your job.
Okay, I was like, well, what, you know, who would potentially need that in here? And I thought,
I think what they're trying to say is, mainly I think because of IRS, or well, it would be IRS, but typically you don't pay someone to do their job, to train them to do their job. With, you know, they're supposedly already had the education to do their job, so what you're trying to do is train them to advance them to the next, to some other level. Well, we only have one other level for the rest of the staff, and I kind of like that job. But no, I honestly love it if there was somebody else that was ready to do that. But yeah, that's, I don't think it really benefits us to, as far as benefiting the organization as a whole. Otherwise, it's just, you know, on the job training. And actually, we already do provide for some training dollar to include that in travel budget, whether it's one of conferences or.
Which is what I thought you were probably already handling, so to put it in there about tuition reimbursement, that it was already being addressed. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, then, okay, we looked at that. But going to,
Education incentive?
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I'm sorry. Education incentive.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was confusing those two. The education incentive is the one I was describing.
Oh, okay. That's what I was talking about. I guess I collapsed them both in my mind.
So for us, the county education incentive is for somebody that's working on a degree.
Uh-huh.
And they have obtained that degree related to that. Then they'll get a percentage increase to their base salary.
I don't think
anybody
else is seeking any education on your software.
No.
So prices are done.
We have three people with master's degrees and one with a JD.
What you just referenced, if you're talking about current people, I think it's wise to look at this as positions, not people. So therefore, the job descriptions already include educational requirements, and so you would hire someone with those requirements as a bare minimum.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because it says should or would or will.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, therefore, I think that it kind of makes this null.
Yeah.
So, okay. I just wanted to point out that we need to think position, not person.
That's a great point. Exactly.
So for number four, the employee reward options. So, I think back on the matrix, page 2, the last item, the section 125.
Uh-huh.
Did we discuss that?
What we said on that one is that what's currently in place was that
one? No, the 125 plan.
I think what was at the bottom of page 2.
I think what we said was we should do it.
Yes.
But we'll have to do it on our own.
Yeah,
right, because it's
not
separate federal idea.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay.
Just like the awards program.
So that is going to be in our recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, would do, but not. Yeah, would not be in coordination with the county.
Right.
That one awards.
There's one other thing I'd like to bring up on that page on the short-term disability. I think I don't know that we really have that, but to discuss the it might be in the other. But I think you need to look at the short-term disability in conjunction with the sick leave policy and decide, you know, we talked about whether or not or how to cap the sick leave.
That actually is one of the recommendations put forward, and it was to cap the sick leave.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I just want to make sure we think about that short-term disability number, because if you look at the cost of short-term disability, you know, basically that's self-insured as well. And that's a big exposure for us, those kind of numbers. If you're talking 3 months' pay, you know, that would be the 3 month hit for the three full time employees.
So thinking about that one, it's not currently available, and we may.
Is that 75%?
That is 3 months' salary. Yes, at 75%.
Okay, so the risk associated with actually implementing this and accepting this—that's huge.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, then we may want to look back at the sick leave balance to see what our language currently has on that, and opt not to do the short-term disability, but then look at your cap. Of what you would have available that a person could use that they've already accrued.
another option or another thing to consider is possibly have, and I may have overlooked it, but having STD as a short-term disability as one of those voluntary supplemental insurance options that the employee can opt to engage personally as opposed to the organization covering that cost. Mm-hmm. Is that making sense? Mm-hmm.
But then the employer still, I mean,
I'm not
an insurance person, but
I may be out in left field, yeah. But if the discussion is, should the recommendation be that this organization carry a potential financial burden by having a self-insured as a short-term disability option available? In contrast to that, I did not see where the voluntary options, coverage options,
yeah,
the supplemental options.
We have there,
I see long-term,
like
I didn't see short-term.
Right.
So my question is, why not just add that as one of the
supplemental
options? Yeah, and then the cost burden is not being borne by the organization. It's actually an employee.
And we talked, I think we talked briefly about that. I did not see a self-insured or an employee-paid option for short-term disability. I saw long-term, but I did not see short-term.
Right, the employer pays, but there's other supplemental benefits like AFLAC, mm-hmm. Colonial, that's voluntary. So that's what she's saying, establishing it like that for your organization.
Does AFLAC and Colonial cover, isn't that just like illness-specific?
No, AFLAC is short-term.
They actually have a short-term? I did not see that.
Yeah, and so does Colonial. Mm-hmm. The types of products that those types of organization companies offer are considered supplemental policy.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know that.
Yeah.
And so I know personally that Colonial offers a short-term disability.
Okay.
If that's in there, then certainly.
We would put that. So we still make it available relative to awareness, and here is the resource.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're under the additional benefits thing here.
Okay, they're under additional benefits. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so we will certainly thank you. So you know what? That's why I love the makeup of this committee. It's a lot of variety and a lot of experts. So thank you, Linda, for doing that. Okay, so that's what we're going to do relative to benefits. And Ron, we'll clue this up, and I took notes on it as well. And employee reward options, number four. Again, Linda was in support of adopting the county. Paul was in support of adopting the county, including flex time. Sherry, if financial feasible to adopt, I was to adopt as well. Of course, I added more verbs because I was thinking about I was going to have to get to the recommendation anyway, so I was like, let me just write it now.
Right.
and then I also recommended that for this rewards program that, especially when we're talking about dollar distribution, that we also recognize part-time employees to be able to participate, but do it at a portion of the one-time payment that would be prorated out because of our model. What are y'all's thoughts on that?
Peggy, what do you think?
comments on that? That for the rewards piece, that if we adopted the county, there is a dollar amount that would be available. That it would also, it doesn't differ from what you all said, it's an addition. The addition would be that we take into account our part-time, if we had part-time employees, and that would just be prorated.
I do. Okay. I am in favor.
So that we get full buy-in. Now, April, we'll look at April. Several, April talks about, you know, percent of salary and bonus for exceptional work. But, again, if we adopt this plan, and then, yeah, there we go.
That's too subjective.
Yeah. Okay, so number five, recommended best practices, and this is where it's good. So Wendy, you pointed out periodic monitoring of comp benefits offered by similar organizations and periods. So we could establish as a resource the county as the one that we want to compare it to because they would have already done all the work, and then we could also take advantage and plug into these programs.
Right.
So it makes it an easy one that we could reference and how it moved in the language.
And also that the study, the
absolutely.
I didn't itemize those things, but that's...
No, so I'll reference that one as well then. So the other that you listed is engage a strategic partnership with career source to help develop metrics to compare LCRDA. They're not going to do that without a cost being attached to it. Is that, or do we just, in this case, want to stay specifically with the group that we know are like organizations like us, which would be that survey group, AUOP?
Yeah, I see your point.
Yeah,
I see your point. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sick leave policy, absolutely. Consider putting a cap on the number of hours to be paid out at termination. I think we'd all be in agreement of that. Ron, what's the amount right now, the hours?
Well, that's the problem. It's 25% of the accumulated balance, but there's no limit on the accumulated balance.
Okay.
So just...
Yeah, I don't have... Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so, like right now, I have over 400 hours. So at 25%, I'd get 100 hours.
Well, we definitely want to change that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think even for me, but that is, I mean, that's a liability we actually have to book on our financial statements.
Well, we can, you know, a recommendation and a common one that you hear, whether it be the state or whether it be these other public institutions, I mean, I could share that. I can give them as a starting point. I'd say, you know, some like organizations include, you know, this. I know FSU is less than TCC. I think ours is 240 hours.
Yeah, that's our annual.
And then, you know, you have to be like 5 years or something, and you get like 20% of, which I'm horrible. You said you got 4, I have about 3,000 hours.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, when do you actually use sick leave?
That's the thing. That's it.
If you're sick, you're going to work more the next day.
Yeah.
To me, I've always looked at it as sort of my own short-term disability policy.
Correct.
But I'm not doing it to accumulate a bunch of, you know, payout, but that's what the policy is.
Oh, yeah, we see that all the time.
I just, and I understand, the rationale is, I think the rationale is that if there's some incentive to get paid for it at the end, paid something for it at the end, you won't abuse it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so... I think it is a little sort of like a severance package.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I get 1,000. I got 4,000 hours. I'm going to get 1,000 hours at my rate.
Yeah. Well,
that's 6 months pay.
Mm-hmm. I'll look up, guys. I'll look up for the state. I'll acknowledge that the county does not have a cap on this one specifically. I'll pull, you know, public institutions, and I'll just list it as an example so that, you know, the group can say, here is what.
I don't think the state has a cap, but, I mean, you could verify that.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I could be wrong.
I thought they did. I thought they'd be more so, because you imagine how long folks stay with the state? And that they wouldn't have a cap. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, we'll double check that.
Yeah, well, I'll look that one up then. And so you all will, of course, see these. Seriously. Paul, you pointed out, should be the base and enables leveraging opportunities for calls. So basically, continue the collaboration with the county. So we'll point that out. Sherry, current compensation package seems competitive with the end. Okay, we need to move this. We need to move this to the first one, Ron. Kim, annually review employee compensation related procedure. I said annually, but someone, I think April recommended every I'll just stay on task. Review annually, and then the other was incorporate the ad hoc compensation committee into the annual procedure and the process. I think it was a good idea to have an outside group to convene and look at this. We would never have the time to do this in a board meeting. April, create a compensation committee every third year to ensure we remain competitive. What are y'all's thoughts on that? Maybe every year is too much, but, you know, every other year?
Every other year.
You don't want to get too far.
Might be too far out.
Okay, so every other year. And then the other that's not listed that Linda recommended that I thought about after I talked to, got the email from Ron, was that we need to make sure that we are continuously using the AURP survey. As a matter of fact, I need to put it here.
Yeah, I don't know that they're running that every year.
Oh, yeah?
No, because the last one was 2016.
Oh, yeah, so 3 years out.
Yeah, so but prior to that, it looked like they were doing it every year. So they've actually had some turnover in their staff, so I don't know if that impacted any of it. But to the extent that we can, obviously, that...
Okay.
I wouldn't expect to see major fluctuations in that from year to year. But
because I put this in the wrong slot.
Okay.
Yeah, it is, absolutely.
Zero comments on there. Okay. And then for the other section, if there are no other any other additions, I mean, now that you've kind of heard the other best practices, if not, then I'll move on to number 6. else that jumped out at you. Okay. Well, at number six, then other, and Linda, you were the overachiever in the choice of other. And let's see what you said. Concerns about proper classification of exempt versus non-exempt personnel were raised at the 516. Based on my review of the job description, by the only non-exempt is administrative coordinator. So we could actually note that, you know, we go ahead and define so that everybody is clear on which positions are exempt with our current structure. The other is that a recommendation would be the classification. Ron mentioned that we don't have that, so it makes it difficult when he would then get the instruction back about implement this, i.e. cell phone allowance. Mm-hmm. Who are we talking about? So establishing the classification for the employee structure that we have right now. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like managers, do we want to offer a recommendation on that, that what we would consider the manager level are the three that we talked about? Mm-hmm. Or would you break it down even further?
To me, it's exempt versus non-exempt.
Okay.
Right? Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Because if you're usually if you're an exempt employee, then you are having a certain amount of a level of responsibility that's likely going to need that.
Okay.
That's,
and
that's my thought.
The ED would have the ability to make that determination. Mm-hmm. On that. Okay.
Yes.
As far as on the cell phone.
Yeah. Cell phone. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But to me, the importance of this, it relates back to the employee policy on comp time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
And I would be in favor of eliminating that and treating salaried people like salaried people.
Yeah.
Or exempt as exempt.
Right? Yeah.
So if, you know, let them manage their hours and I judge them by their results, not based on, you
right.
know, did they work 40 hours this week.
Mm-hmm. And so currently the comp time language in there?
Yeah, there's comp time language in there, whether they're exempt or not.
Okay, so then what our, again, getting the feedback from the group that we would look at if we adopt then this classification here of exempt versus non-exempt, then it would negate the need to have.
Where is the comp time language?
It's in the employment policy. Employment policy.
Oh, the employment policy, okay. Yeah. Why can you pull that up then?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
handy dandy stuff here.
Personnel policy,
Oh, well, then we address it up front by saying employees in exempt positions as defined shall not be eligible for overtime compensation.
That's overtime.
Yeah.
Good. Keep going.
Okay.
I'm trying to find it. But
you're talking about comp time.
Comp time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, then, yeah, I've never known you can get comp time when you're exempt.
Yeah.
Only hourly is, so we would, I guess.
Yeah, compensatory leave or cash compensation for overtime may only be granted when actual hours of work exceed 40 hours.
So in essence, we would be recommending that language be striked. We strike it as a result of the classification system that we're adopting, that exempt employees would not
yeah.
be in the conversation tied to comp time.
Well,
it's almost implied, right? It's implied that does not apply to exempt employees.
Where are
we? It's, that's the top of page 10. Keep going right there. Is that what you're referring to?
Well, but you can work over 40 hours whether you're exempt or not exempt.
Exactly.
So I'm not,
yeah,
so
I,
right,
actually, but I'm not seeing that distinction.
Mm-hmm.
Because number three, it tells is if you're exempt positions, you are not eligible for overtime compensation.
But overtime is not compensatory leave.
So then we could say overtime or compensatory leave where it says in six.
Oh, no, and they state if overtime is worked by an employee, compensatory leave credits equal to overtime hours work shall be granted.
That's why, so right. Then our choice becomes we can strike it or either say up front and then we clear it up and say that they're not eligible for overtime or compensatory leave, then remove that language that talks about describing compensatory leave because they're not eligible anyway. Employees that are non-exempt, we would make sure that those folks had that compensatory language.
Because it says the non-exempt shall be granted compensatory leave at 1.5 hours.
Are we in agreement
or
with
cash
that?
Payment? I am, if that's what if that's what you all are trying to do.
Because I can imagine exempt employees earning, I mean, that would be... I have a bigger check.
Or more time that you can't take off.
Hey, yeah, right. Yeah, that too.
Yeah, I mean, I would just send get rid of all compensatory leave because I think it muddies the waters. Like you can't use compensatory leave for non-exempt employees anyway, can you?
For non-exempt,
that's where it really benefits.
That's where you'd want to leave
there. Yeah. And that's what it states there, number two.
Yeah, you want to leave it. What page are you on, Sherry?
Page 9 of 17.
So okay. Not
at the bottom.
Not exempt your hourly, that, you know, yeah, those are the folks that you want to give it to, because then for us it gives us an option. Yes, we have the overtime language, but by and large, I'm going to do the comp. I'm going to give them the time.
Because it says here comp leave or cash payment.
That's why we leave the comp.
But exempt, we got the definition backwards here.
So go ahead.
Exempt are the directors.
Right.
Non-exempt are the hourly, basically.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that is
what she was saying. We strike it out of the...
That is not...
organization.
That is FLSA, DOL required.
And we have that defined in there, right? So that's what I'm saying. So non-exempt employees are the people who can get overtime.
Yes, and compensatory. You want both. But
can
options?
You get compensatory under FLSA
for non-exempt or exempt
municipalities? You can.
Okay.
Okay, but now keep in mind, my work history has been primarily in the private sector.
Yes.
So if there's something unusual with the public that I'm just not aware of,
I can give you our language, because it specifically speaks to that, defining the exempt and the non-exempt, because that's where we look at it. You want the compensatory because you don't always want to have to go to a financial option. You'd rather say, hey, you're going to let them offset within the same week this time. And then...
Yeah, but it has to be within the same week.
We do it the week after. Sometimes a pay cycle or whatever.
So we do have exempt defined in here. I don't think we define non-exempt. I think it's everything else, right? everything that's not exempt is, or everything that's not exempt is non-exempt.
You're confusing yourself, yeah.
No, you have keep going down. It's in there.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah,
I just didn't want for this discussion for us to not be considering that we're not talking about a local decision here. We're talking about a federal.
I understand. I understand. And that's what I'm saying. My concern is that if we're introducing, I always took the compensatory time as a substitute for overtime for salary people. You know, that you could bank some hours. That's the way I read the policy. Okay. Is that was their intent. Because otherwise, you would just pay overtime for hourly. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't have anyone working 40-hour weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, ours is part-time, so we don't really have that issue right now. But we do have, you know, our exempt people who are sort of constrained by that. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we balance that, but it's a pain to try to keep track of. I'd rather just say, you know, use your good judgment and do what needs to be done.
Yeah. Well, exempt is exempt, that's
but our policy needs to be clarified basically to exclude exempt employees from any overtime or compensation.
And we can recommend that, you know, here suggested changes to the language.
Otherwise, what's the purpose of being exempt?
Exactly.
Right.
Okay, page 9 and 10 updates. Okay, so as we approach the finish line for our conversation on this, then what you all can expect back by way of Peggy and Ron after I share it with them are the recommendations. Here's what we're proposing for each of these sections. and then your review, and then the next meeting, because we can't do it by way of electronic meeting, it does have to be face-to-face, but count on 30 minutes or less. Yeah. So, count on that. Anything else for the good of the order? Okay, then we will move this meeting to adjournment. Thank you.